Tifosi Napolitani to another edition of Far From Vesuvius. I'm your host, Rafa Rispo, and yes, it's been a two-week break for us at Far From Vesuvius. We had a nice international break. I say nice because we've been going hard here, you know, especially me with the Raff and Raff rant and Far From Vesuvius podcasting, doing you know, doing the frenemy segments and everything like that. It was good to have a nice little break, even though I miss my Napoli very, very much. And I'm glad to be back at it with you guys for the weekend. We get Torino at the Maradona on Sunday. And to chat about Torino on this week's edition of Frenemies, I was able to link up with a man by the name of Noah Paymans. He's from Jacksonville, Florida, and he runs Torino FC USA. Yes, please go check him out. Very passionate Torino fan, very knowledgeable, and only been a fan for a little bit, but we'll get to that with his discussion. Just wanted to come in and say, you know, again, we've been on a little bit of a break, so you know, a little bit of a podcast overload. I did do Raff and Raff for a Fiorentina recap with, obviously, Raff Bizarro and with Dom from Napoli Talk. I've posted that because that was right after the Fiorentina match. And then I posted the rant from last Monday, this past Monday, with the Renaissance chat. And that is a the Renaissance group is a little chat that we're in. It's named Renaissance. I'm not sure how it was, but that's what that means. The Renaissance people, just a couple people from a chat room that Raff Bizarro and I are a part of. That one was fun, and it was a 2-hour long episode. And you know, we try normally not to go that long on the Raff and Raff rant, but we had a lot of fun talking about a lot of things, the city, the team, obviously, our chances and stuff like that. But so, yeah, so check those out. Again, Raff and Raff post-match / Monday night rant with Dom from Napoli Talk to talk everything about our Fiorentina win. So if you want to catch up on some of that, listen to Dom, give us some of his knowledge. That's cool. And then their Renaissance chant from this past week. And we're back at it, like I said. So without any further ado, let's bring you this edition of Frenemies with our buddy Noah from Torino FC USA. Hope you enjoy that, and I'll be back after the chat to wrap things up. Okay, Tifosi, I am here today with my next frenemy. He is representing our next opponent, Torino, and he is the head of Torino FC USA on Twitter. Please welcome Noah Paymans. Noah, how are you, my friend?
Excellent, Rafa. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to joining the pod, talking about kind of how our season has gone so far and looking ahead to the upcoming match. I know it's going to be a tough one against a Napoli side that hasn't dropped any points as of yet. So looking forward to it.
That's right. And I'm looking forward to it, too, because I kind of think Torino under Juric this season looks a lot better than they did. They look like they're playing to their potential. You know, just a couple losses to start the season, but, you know, as not necessarily losses that you can hang your head at, you know, Atalanta and Torino and Fiorentina, you know, two teams that are expected to finish, you know, quite high up in the table. And it wasn't a blowout from Atalanta for the first match of the season. You were in there and respectably, you know, got the equalizer from Belotti in the 79th after an early Muriel goal. And then Piccoli comes in and scores in the very last second of the match. So you hung in there with them. And, you know, the loss to Fiorentina, like I said, was, you know, sort of to be expected. Fiorentina should be finishing higher than they usually have been. And now, you know, matches in, they look like they can. You know, they gave Napoli a very hard time. But then, you know, we're looking at the
Results from there, 4-0 against Salernitana, 1-0 against Sassuolo, who also were really, like, without gaining many points, looked to be a very tough team this season as well. And then a respectable draw against Lazio and before, you know, before the draw with Venezia. So, and then the tough loss to Juventus, you know, giving up the goal late. So honestly, Torino's another tough match that Napoli fans look at and are a little, you know, as the season moves forward, as the season progresses, Napoli are facing the tougher teams. You know, it started with the Fiorentina match. You know, we got the Juve match out of the way early, and now it's Torino. So how do you feel about this upcoming matchup? How are your emotions going? You know, like, as you said, undefeated Napoli, definitely going to be a tough, you know, accomplishment, but Juric had Napoli's number last season with Verona. So how do you feel about it?
Yeah, the first thing you said, Juric has totally come in and transformed the side. The last three or four managers we've had, going back to Mazzarri, including Moreno Longo, Davide Nicola, nobody could really kind of create any sort of foundation within the team. It was a revolving door every few months. But Juric has really come in and got us playing a really nice brand of football. The midfield is strong and compact. The wingers, the wingbacks in the back 3/5 type of formation, and Singo and Ola Aina really like to push up the pitch to support Sanabria up top. I think it's going to be a tough match, of course, this weekend. As I mentioned, Napoli's goal differential is already +15, and we haven't won in four games since that Sassuolo match. But if you look at our last three, you mentioned Lazio, Venezia, and the derby against Juventus, we've played extremely well in all three of those matches. The first two just truly came down to individual mistakes by Coffee Gigi in both of those matches. He gave away a penalty to Lazio that Immobile put away close to stoppage time to get them a draw. Against Venezia, we were up 1-0 in the second half, and two very close yellow cards, and one being a penalty again from Gigi, gave Venezia a point there, and we still almost won it in stoppage time when Mandragora had a really good chance one-on-one with the goalkeeper. And then for the better part of an hour, we dominated against Juventus, creating the better chances before the team kind of tired. And you look at the subs we were able to bring in, Carol Linetti, Tomas Rincon, that's not really going to be able to influence the match if we're, as opposed to bringing on the likes of Belotti or Piazza or Dennis Pratt, who are all out and have been prior to the international break. So if you look at the last three games, we've played really well, even though we haven't picked up a win. And I'm really looking forward to the match. I think it'll be a good test, even if we don't come away with anything. I think there's a lot we can continue to learn about this new look Torino side. And I wouldn't put it past anybody to say we come away with a point or something.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned Pryat and Belotti being out injured. How do those guys look on the road to recovery? What's the status of their injuries right now?
Yeah, I know the international break has allowed players to kind of get some one-on-one training, one-on-one type of treatment. I think the big one that you didn't mention was Marco Piazza on loan from
Juventus.
He's come on twice and scored kind of as a super sub. Sanabria has been really good up top, but he just doesn't really have that type of partner to complement him without Belotti in there and without really that creative type of player we have. I'm not sure that Belotti and Pratt will necessarily be ready for this one. But they may be close because of the extra time we've had with the international break. I know they've stayed home with Torino and have been doing individual training. And so hopefully one or two of those will be able to at least get a spot on the bench.
Yeah. And, you know, you brought in Pobega on loan. From Milan, who spent last season with, I want to say it was Spezia. I don't fully recall, but I believe it was Spezia. But then you also, you know, touching on a few of the transfers here, you also brought in Josip Brekalo, who came from Wolfsburg for 1.1 million fee, which I believe could be a steal.
Yeah.
But not amidst some controversy. You know, he had I guess a reputation as a bad boy. He had been served an 8-match ban by the Bundesliga before he came over, but there he is, you know. And how do you feel like the transfers have really impacted your team, either for positive or negative?
Yeah, we've done a lot of the business we've done has been on loan with obligations to buy. I think all the loans we did, Piazza, Brekalo, Pratt, all have obligations or options in them aside from Pobega. But the loans have been, instrumental within the side. Tomaso Pobega has kind of formed a really, really dynamic partnership with Rolando Mandragora in the middle of midfield, who's also on loan from Juventus himself for a second year. So having that compact base in the midfield and allowing Aina and Singo to push forward has been really crucial. Brekalo is kind of playing in that position right now, right in behind Sanabria. Sanabria goes up and wins a lot of flicks, a lot of headers, and Brekalo's kind of the guy right now who's latching onto that with Belotti out injured. He can disappear at times, but when he does kind of get himself actually in the game, he's pretty good in front of goal. He scored in our last match or against Venezia. He got the goal in that 1-1 draw. But the loans have been really helpful. Another transfer you didn't mention was David Zima from Slavia.
Zima, right.
I'm in Europe, so he's got some experience there. He started our last match alongside Bremer and Rodriguez on the back line. Bremer is getting a lot of interest from overseas as well as in Italy, from England, Liverpool, Manchester United, I've heard, and then, of course, like Inter. So being able to keep a hold of him is going to be important. But Zima has provided, I think, a nice complement on the right side Rodriguez settling into that left center back position after really playing more of a left wing back previously.
Let's talk about Sasa Lukic. I mean, he's been with you guys for a few years now, but he's doing pretty well. He's got a goal and an assist in his 7 matches. But how are you feeling about him? I'm assuming he's going to get a lot of playing time against Napoli because of the fact that you're still dealing with a few injuries. So how about Lukic? How do you feel about him?
Yeah, I'm actually a really, really big Sasa Lukic fan. He might be my favorite within the team. He can serve a lot of different roles within that midfield. You mentioned he has a goal and an assist. He's kind of an engine in the midfield. He can play in that position, but with Mandragora and Pobega, he's been pushed forward a little bit, playing a little bit closer to the striker and Brekalo. Lukic, I mean, he works so hard, but like you said, he can really pop up with some quality sometimes and provide important goals and assists. I think he scored in the Derby della Mole a year or two ago with a really, really nice goal. He's very versatile. He really works hard for the team. And like I said, right now he's playing a little bit more forward. He's a little more comfortable playing a little farther back in midfield, but right now he's for Juric, with him making sure that we're staying compact, not conceding too many goals like we have been previously. He is playing a little farther forward than he's probably most comfortable.
Another area I'd like to discuss with you is a goalkeeper. So right now you've been starting Milinkovic-Savic lately. And what's the deal with that in Berisha? Who is supposed to be the number one keeper there? Is it Berisha? Is it Milinkovic-Savic? I was really actually impressed with him in the match against Juventus. I thought he was really pretty decent. It might have been that match or match before against Venezia where I really saw him kind of get in. I think it was the Venezia match now that I think about it, but kind of impressed by him. How do you feel about the keeper situation? It's a pretty good. I mean, I think Berisha's a pretty decent keeper myself. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think right now it's Vanya Milinkovic-Savic's to kind of hold, to keep until he does anything to lose it. We're only conceding one goal per match right now. We've conceded 7 goals in 7 games. So no real issues at the back there. He's very commanding. He's a massive presence back there. He commands that back line well. He's very good with his feet. He's much better than we have had previously. So being able to use his feet has been good. And like I said, I think he's just that commanding presence with his size, with his attitude. And I don't see any reason right now that he shouldn't continue to start these matches. The goals we conceded to both Venezia and Lazio were from penalties. In the derby, there wasn't much he could do about the goal. Personally, I think it's Milinkovic-Savic's spot to lose at this moment.
All right. So 11th place, Torino. Only 7 matches in. Long way to go, Noah. So what do you think, man? How are you? I'm going to put you on the spot here. How are you seeing Torino finishing out the season under the guidance of Ivan Juric, who's a great, great tactician. Very great.
Yeah. I mean, The start to the season has really given me a lot of hope going forward. It's so early. I looked so much better with a very limited amount of time, with international breaks kind of coming thick and fast. Currently in 11th, I think the aim is probably for a top half finish, us to solidly cement ourselves in the top half, maybe push on for top 7. You look at the teams ahead of us right now. We're only 3 points off of Juventus, Atalanta, Bologna, and Empoli are ahead of us. You have to think a couple teams like them are gonna probably drop down a little. But the way we're playing right now, even with some key players injured, I think a top half finish has to be the goal right now, and it's very attainable.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting one, though, Napoli-Torino at the Maradona. Reading right now that it is quasi sold out for the 75% capacity it can have. It's at 35,000 so far, which, if you have been paying attention, or if you haven't, I would let you know that there have been a lot of protests at the Maradona regarding availability of tickets and the whole COVID procedures and this and that or what have you, mainly by the ultras. But so this should be a really good turnout. I mean, it's, you're against the first place team, and I'll pat myself on the shoulder for that. But it's going to be a good turnout. What are some of your... And it's crazy. I just realized I didn't even ask you how you became a Torino fan. So let's go there first. And then we'll talk about maybe some historical moments. So Noah, let's talk about how you became a Torino fan. Lots of Juventini out there. Could easily join them. What stood out when are you from there? Family, something particular stand out to you? How'd you get this?
Yeah, no friends, no family, anything like that. I started watching a lot of Serie A about 4 years ago, actually. Getting it on ESPN Plus was really, really cool. I was able to watch a ton of matches. I've always been a huge football fan, soccer fan, especially the Premier League in England. But with Serie A becoming so available, every single match just available right there, I started watching a lot of Serie A. And I really enjoyed the style of football. It was very, very different from England, and I really, really enjoyed that. And I was just researching into teams, because if I'm going to get into something, I like to have something to root for. I like to have a tie into something. And I've never been one to really kind of support one of the best teams or really care about winning all that much. I'm much more into the kind of the supporter side of things, all of that type of stuff. And so when looking into teams, a big derby was one of my big factors that I was looking at. And so Torino, obviously, kind of a David against a Goliath like Juventus in a big derby, really stood out to me. On top of the history of Torino with the Grande Torino and the Superga air disaster, all that type of stuff really just kind of struck me, that history. And then also kind of having that underdog mentality. I've always kind of liked to have been kind of opposite of people. So supporting Torino against all the Juventus supporters out there and everything, it kind of really spoke to me. And so going on about 4 years now as a big Torino supporter.
It's very interesting because, you have this fallen giant like Torino, that has fallen and hasn't really gotten up since, and And you can sort of see times where, you know, Torino looked like they could make, like a couple of years ago under Mazzarri, right before they really started taking a downfall or downward spiral. I actually envisioned Torino getting into like a European spot, possibly sneaking into top four.
Well, we played Europa League qualifying and lost to Wolves, I think, 2 in the final qualifying round. And we were in the Champions League race that year before. We were, I think, just a few points off going into the last match. And I think we came up 3 points short of a Champions League spot that year.
There you go. Yeah. And I want to say, and I don't want to discredit what Torino has done to get into Europe, but Milan not accepting
that was a fact.
Yes. But, you know, again, you finishing right outside of that, because I believe that season was, you know, you said it was close to get into the Champions League, but it was close to get into Europa League as well. So Milan, you know, I believe that was the season Milan missed out on the Champions League by 1 point and then decided not to take part in the Europa League to try to recover themselves. So Torino got the spot. But yeah, you know, I obviously, you know, as a Napoli fan and a Juventus ultra hater, I'm always going for Torino against you know, Juve, and it's really cool. One match for me that sticks out between us in history is the one where Mertens put the ball in on that impossible angle. It was probably a couple years before you even started. It might have been when Serie A was still on BN Sports, but I think it was like a 5-3 result or what have you. But what are some of your favorite Torino matches since you started watching Serie A?
Yeah, I would say there was one big one against Sassuolo in that year we were going for that Champions League and Europa League spot, where I think we went down twice in the match and came back to win 3-2. And one of the goals was a ridiculous Belotti overhead kick that got us back into it. So that was a really cool one.
I think I remember that one.
Yeah, that was the year we were going for Champions League and Belotti was in fine form. Another, we've had a lot of really great contests against Milan in the Coppa Italia. I think the 4-2 loss in extra time a few years ago was an unbelievable match. Even though we came up on the wrong side, I think we led twice, 1-0 and 2-1. But it was just really cool being a part of the quarterfinal playing against Milan. I think that was either the same year or the year after. Because I remember we also had a chance to maybe qualify for Europe through the cup. Those are a couple that stick out with me. One we wound up on the wrong side and one on the good side. But the last couple of years have been really, really tough to get through. When we have been picking up points, it's been not pretty. When we lose, it's really, really bad. The worst is probably the 8-0 against Atalanta a couple of years ago. So there, in my time supporting Torino, there may have been more bad than good, but there have definitely been some great matches in there.
You brought up the Coppa Italia. Let's bring that up really quick. You had a 0-0 against Cremonese in the last round. I was probably the first round you guys entered in, but 4-1 on penalties. So you advance, and now you play against Sampdoria on the 16th of December, or there or thereabouts. How are you feeling about Coppa Italia? I mean, it's this competition that, you know, if you guys really play your game right, you could get far into. How do you feel about Coppa Italia?
Yeah, I'm always excited for the Cup. The Cup is always just, it's so different. It's so unique. You sometimes get to see a few players you might not get to see, or you get to see a style of a match that you don't get to see all the time. But I don't know if you've noticed, if we get past Sampdoria, that will set up a derby with Juventus in the round of 16. So I am absolutely desperate for us to get past Sampdoria to set up another chance to beat Juventus. I don't know what that would be like to beat Juventus in the Cup. We haven't beaten them since 2015, and before that since, I think, 95. So getting a shot at them is always crucial. And so this match against Sampdoria coming up here in a couple months is going to be a big one. And the Cup is always a lot of fun, especially when you get to have some derbies or play some big teams in there.
And again, not to put Torino down as to being a smaller club, because they're one of the bigger clubs in Italy, especially as far as history goes. Mm-hmm. But when Napoli were in the doldrums and before bankruptcy and before their reemergence and even after, I always treated the cup as a special tournament like you did. I would always want them to perform better because it's an actual trophy you can win. You know, when you're in Serie B, you're playing against these teams for a title, and it was always in the back of my mind, like, Napoli could win this cup. And then now that we've won three, it's like, okay, let's move on to the next. But yeah. I feel you and your attitude towards Coppa Italia, because I had the same exact, you know, passion for it. And to some extent, I still do. And especially like you said, it brings up another opportunity to have a high profile derby match and you know, have eyes on the team and all that. Last thing, and then we'll go. I know you're a little pressed for time. But I want to address Belotti, because this guy, no matter what, no matter who's after him, seems to be super loyal to Torino.
Yeah.
There have been rumblings about Milan, especially as of late. I tend to think at some point, if it doesn't happen at Torino, he's going to go. But I mean, the more he gets older, the more, you know, his time moves on. I don't know. I feel like more like he'd be a Antonio Di Natale with Udinese, you know, or Sergio Pellissier with Chievo, is where like these guys don't leave their club, and he's so loyal to him. You know, I certainly pay more attention to that rumor than to the current Insigne to MLS rumors. But what are your thoughts on Belotti and his situation with the club and rumors of a transfer possibly?
Well, so his contract is up at the end of the year.
Got you. Okay.
That kind of complicates things. I know Urbano Cairo is desperate to sign him to a new contract. If Urbano Cairo has had one mission over his time at Torino, it's been to keep Andrea Belotti, which he has done a very good job of. With foreign clubs coming in, with Italian clubs interested in him, I mean, I would hope he stays. In no matter what he does, he's served us very well through thick and thin. You look at some other players that have dipped out of there that you really can't say the same for, Agbana, Immobile, etc. When you look at Belotti, he's really stayed the course and really been so faithful to Torino. I hope he signs a new contract. I hope we can get to that. Hopefully the way Juric has transformed the side and the new younger players we brought into the side, our transfer windows previously have been a disaster, an absolute disaster. Mm-hmm. You look mm-hmm. at Simone Verdi, you look at Gojo, you look at some of the players we brought in to support Belotti. It's been an absolute nightmare. So having Pobega in the midfield now and Mandragora, having Brekalo up there, having Sanabria would be a great partner for Belotti if they get on the pitch together. Maybe that persuades him to stay and sign a contract. I'm guessing he'll probably leave, but I very much hope he stays and kind of sees his career out of Torino, because it would be really, really cool. But regardless of if he does leave, I think the fans and the supporters of Torino will always hold him with extremely high regards, no matter what happens this summer or this winter.
No, I want to say thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to the match. It's this Sunday at 12 noon Eastern. On Paramount Plus. Noah, can you plug yourself? You know, why don't you plug your YouTube, I'm sorry, not your YouTube, your Twitter handle and your account and the things that you do and maybe your aspirations for the account to help grow awareness to Torino in the United States.
Yeah, so everybody can follow me on Twitter at Torino FC USA. I've had the account for a few years now. I found a few Torino fans in the U.S., but we're always looking for more to connect. I've thought about starting a podcast and maybe going down that route, but just haven't had the time recently. But I'm always kind of open to exploring that idea, especially if there is kind of some more continued interest. But I really appreciate you having me, Rafa, joining the Far From Vesuvius podcast. And Hopefully we can do it again in the future. Really looking forward to the match. I know it's going to be a tough one, but I think we'll learn a lot about both teams. I'm really excited.
We will, we will. And the invitation is extended to the return fixture, which looks to me like it is at the end of the season, May 8th. It's the third from final game of the season. Very weird how the league structured the schedules. You go from playing in the eighth match of the season to the
7 months from now.
It's 7 months from now. So see you in May. How about that?
Yeah, we'll see you in May when it's all warm and sunny.
Exactly. Again, because in I'll tell you what, you're in Florida, in New York.
Yeah, I'm Northeast Florida.
You're in Northeast Florida, so it's getting a bit chilly, right?
Good golf weather.
Good golf weather. Well, I'll tell you what, same here. I mean, October 14th, and it's 72. So
perfect.
Can't complain right now. I know the winter's coming, but yeah, 9 months from now, we'll talk to each other. But I'll tell you what, maybe by then, you guys will be in a great position to qualify for Europe. Maybe you'll be far in the cup. That's right around final time anyway. But yeah, man, it was a great conversation with you, and it was very nice to meet you, and I'm looking forward to watching Torino for the rest of the season. I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, Tifosi, that was Noah, and I hope you liked his perspective on Torino. You know, really fun chat. You know, I do these things to meet new people and to get their, you know, their perspective on their club. And I think it's great that Noah just really became a fan of Serie A and picked a team like Torino. Through watching on ESPN when they were on ESPN, and now can follow on CBS with Paramount. I think it's pretty cool. So props to him, and hopefully he can spread the word. You know, you spread the word about your club in English, and hopefully you strive to grow the community. And whether it's a Torino or, you know, a bigger club or, you know, a smaller club like Venezia or whatever, you know, getting awareness out there for this league, this great league in this country, in this region of the world, you know, in the English language is just phenomenal. And I really commend Noah on what he does for Torino. Let's get to some, I guess, some news about the club. Looks like Kostas Manolas has picked up a small injury, and he will not be available for the match against Torino. Looks like an ankle sprain. And Lobotka has returned to training, but only just. So he may or may not be available for Napoli this weekend. And there's also a doubt for Petagna. Not sure what that's about, but I see that in the notes here. But big speculation that Medet will start over Ospina because of the fact that Ospina was just at the World Cup qualifying. Again, with this South American qualification process, it just baffles my mind as to why they have to go on a Thursday night the day before leagues get back. Some leagues get back Friday. I mean, I know PSG had to play today without their South American contingency. It happened in the Napoli-Juve game, you know, where Ospina had to come back late and Juve didn't even have some of their players. So it was just a mess. And you know, it's just, while I personally love the international, you know, aspect of football, these things need to be fixed. And I get COVID happened, and I get a lot of things were rescheduled and jump and, you know, restructured and everything like that. You had some, you know, you had some confederations restructuring their entire, you know, qualification and all that. But come on, let's get these games done in a timely fashion to get these players back. So yeah, look for Medet to get the start this week over Ospina. Also, you know, we do have the Europa League midweek and Roma next week. So speaking of Ospina and the internationals, let's take a look really quickly on how our players did in the international break, sort of a Napoli Internazionale thing, a sort of a Napoli international thing. Let's get started with our beloved Italia. Italy lose to Spain in the Nations League semifinal 2-1, and then defeat Belgium 2-1 in the third place match. No World Cup qualifying for them this go around because of it, so only those two matches. You had Insigne only playing 59 minutes, and honestly, those 59 minutes were in the semifinal, and he only came on in the 90th minute of the third place match. Pretty much Insigne got a break there, but Di Lorenzo playing in 180 minutes, playing in both matches. Yeah, and playing the full match both times. Medet getting 0 minutes, which is commonplace at this point. I personally would have liked to have seen for the third place match Di Lorenzo get a sit and Medet play, because of the fact that Medet only had one match since his injury with Napoli, and that was the Europa League debacle against Spartak Moscow. And it would have been pretty refreshing to see Medet play on the national team, get some minutes in before he had to come back. The three of those players, Di Lorenzo, Insigne, and Medet, came back early on Tuesday because their international duty was wrapped up by last Sunday. So I think it would have been pretty cool to see Medet start there and then get the start this weekend just to get some more, you know, match time under his belt. But that's not the way it happened. They came back, like I said, last Tuesday. And now Italy have to play Switzerland on Friday, November 12th, in that big match. World Cup qualifying, both teams have 14 points. So essentially the winner of that could very well gain automatic entry to the World Cup. And then Italy have to travel to North Ireland and play them on Monday, the 15th of November. Getting out of Europe really quick and going into Colombia, because like I said, we spoke about Ospina possibly, most likely not playing this weekend. That is because he's been very busy with Colombia. Three matches, Thursday the 7th against Uruguay, Sunday the 10th against Brazil, and Thursday the 14th against Ecuador, all nil-nils. Yes, Ospina collects three clean sheets in a row, playing in every match, all match. He accumulated 12 saves, 7 of them were diving saves, 4 of them in the box. He was the man of the match against Brazil. Both him and Alisson had 4 saves, but Ospina had 3 dives and 2 in the box, and he was very much a protagonist in the 0-0 draw against Brazil. Versus Ecuador, Ospina was the most accurate passer with 93% for a player who played more than one half. So Ospina definitely the better of the two keepers. That's for sure. When you have more than one manager at Napoli saying that Ospina is the number one, then there's the proof of the pudding is right there. All those Medet lovers, and you know, I don't hate the guy. Trust me, I don't. But this is the way it is. Ospina is our number one for sure. Let's talk about Chucky Lozano and Mexico. Thursday the 7th at home against Canada, a 1-1. Sunday the 10th at home against Honduras, a 3-0. And Wednesday the 12th away against El Salvador, a 2-0. Lozano played in 250 minutes, even though Footmob said that he played in 180. I calculated 250. He did play in every game. His goal in the 86th minute versus Honduras for 3-0 was an outstanding goal. If you can go check that out, please look it up. Look up the highlights for Mexico Honduras 3-0. Lozano's goal in the 86th, awesome goal. He was the man of the match of that game. He played the full 90. In the first match against Canada, he played 90 minutes in the match against Honduras, but was subbed out in the 90th. Or in the third match, he played 70 minutes. So Mexico are atop of CONCACAF at the moment with 14 points. There's a friendly listed against Ecuador for later this month, but I am 100% certain Chucky Lozano will not feature there. Their next matches are Friday, November 12th against the USA in the United States. And then Tuesday, the 16th at home versus Canada. Two very, very great matches. If you're a CONCACAF fan who has been paying attention, and I got to tell you, those my Canadian Napoli friends, Canada looks something good, man. Alphonso Davies is just killing it, like he always does, but now I think the eyes of the world are starting to open up a little bit more. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, actually, with CONCACAF qualifying for late January, early February. There's slated to be three qualifiers, and Mexico plays against Jamaica, Costa Rica, and Panama. It's not a normal FIFA international break slot. I mean, I know the African Cup of Nations is going to be happening, so I'd love to see what's going to happen there. I'm almost certain that Napoli can refuse a Chucky call-up for that. I mean, I can't see Chucky leaving for that. I mean, it is a World Cup qualifying, so who knows, but there is the normal March slate, you know, with the USA, Honduras, and El Salvador, but that's a normal break schedule. I mean, you know, usually it's the September, October, and November break, then nothing until March. So this January and February slate of matches, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. It'll be interesting to keep your eyes on that. Let's get into Africa with our boys. Let's start with Koulibaly and Senegal. Senegal played Namibia twice, Saturday 4-1 win at home and Tuesday a 3-1 win away. Koulibaly played in both matches and played every minute in both matches. And with those wins, they have advanced to the final round of World Cup qualifying. In African qualifying, there are three stages. This is the second stage. They qualified for the third stage. The 10 group winners of this stage go to play a home-and-home with each other in March. And those five winners qualify for the World Cup. Matches against Togo on the 13th and Congo on the 16th of November mean absolutely nothing. So while I do believe Koulibaly will get a call-up, it would be nice to see the Senegalese manager give Koulibaly a break during that time. As you know, we all know he'll be going to the Cup of Nations. We'll see if that happens, but you know, meaningless matches against Togo and Congo, as they've already sealed up qualification out of that group. On to Osimhen in Nigeria on Thursday, home loss, surprisingly, to the Central African Republic, 1-0, stunning loss. And Osimhen did play in every minute of that match. Very, very weird. But then they traveled to the Central African Republic, wherever that may be. And no disrespect to the Central African Republican fans that are listening to us right now. But they did redeem themselves with a 2-0 away win on Sunday. And Osimhen actually did get the goal for 2-0 in the stoppages of the first half in that win. Pretty nice goal for him, too. So the next matches are Saturday, the 13th at Liberia, and then Tuesday the 16th home to Cape Verde. Right now, Nigeria are leading in that group with 9 points, Cape Verde with 7, CAR with 4, and Liberia with 3. Nigeria do need to win those to progress. Cameroon and Zamboangisa, Friday the 8th, Cameroon get a home 3-1 win, and then on Monday the 11th, they get a 1-0 away win, both to Mozambique. Anguissa played in both matches, 180 minutes. Their matches coming up are on the 13th of November against Malawi and on the 16th of November against the Ivory Coast. The Ivory Coast actually lead this group with 10 points, Cameroon 1 behind them with 9. Malawi with 3, Mozambique with 1. So that last match versus Ivory Coast will be very important for Cameroon and Zamboangisa in their hopes to qualify for the final round of qualifications to get them to Qatar. Really quickly, I'll mention that Rahmani played in both matches, both full matches, two losses for Kosovo. The 9th, they lost to Sweden 3-0 in Sweden, and on the 12th, they lost to Georgia 2-1 at home. Rahmani is the Kosovo captain, so he played both full matches, and he was the most fouled player versus Sweden. And they are at the bottom of the group. They will not qualify for the World Cup. But Poland and Zielinski, Saturday the 9th, they win 5-0 versus San Marino. Tuesday the 12th, they win 1-0 at Albania. Zielinski did not play in the San Marino match, but he played the full 90 against Albania. Didn't do much, though. They did get the win. Friday, November 12th, they travel to Andorra, and then Monday the 15th, they play a last match that could be crucial at home versus Hungary. Right now in that group, it's England 20, Poland behind them with 17, Albania 15, and Hungary 11. So that wraps up the international break for Napoli. A couple of players that did not go. You saw Mertens wasn't picked. You saw Fabian didn't go. You saw Lobotka hung back and completed his rehab. And there could be others that I am missing, but the point remains that Napoli are ready to come back and play this match against Torino. Hopefully we can get this win. It would be 8 of 8, and it would tie the best start in Napoli history with 8 wins to start. That was that 17-18 season where we actually did go 14 matches unbeaten before we were beaten in that season. So that's pretty interesting. But yeah, let's get this win. You know, things are looking good. I believe that Napoli can do it. I think they have, you know, they have the talent, they have the manager, and even Bobo Vieri, who usually is very critical of Napoli, he even came out and said on his Twitch Bobo TV channel that he predicts that Napoli will win the Scudetto with 3 or 4 matches left. But there are big, big matches coming up, guys. We play against Torino at 12 o'clock noon on Sunday, and then Juventus play Roma right after that. And the Saturday matches, Inter play against Lazio and Milan play against Verona. Milan are depleted, don't forget. We got Mike Maignan with his injury. He'll be out 2 months. And we have Theo Hernandez and now Brahim Diaz both out with COVID. So this could be very interesting coming up. And then we play against Roma next week. And Inter-Juventus play each other too. So Milan also play against Bologna, who are always very tough. So this is going to be... this is going to be it right here. We can gain a lot of ground here in the Scudetto race. And we're all going to be able to watch it unfold this weekend, guys. So I really hope you enjoyed this edition of Far From Vesuvius. I'm out of here. Ciao for now. Forza Napoli.